Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Namaste, yogis. This is Andrew Seeley here to welcome you to the Yoga Revealed podcast. Today, we tune in with DJ Drez, the Rasta Yogi sound ambassador and positive vibration maker who infuses hip-hop beats to make you move your yogi feet in classes worldwide. Drez's passion for music is second only to his devout practice of mantra, meditation, and yoga.
Which yoga, period, is for everyone. Yoga, it's one of those things. Yoga's for everyone.
It's universal.
Maybe everybody's not for yoga, but yoga's for everyone. In the practice, it's taught to us that you do gain some interesting
powers.
Insights and powers. Straight up, you do. Observe them. Don't get caught up in them.
Be prepared to boogie on down as we tune into this yogi sound, DJ Drez, on this episode of the Yoga Revealed podcast.
So this morning, I am very honored to be in the presence of the amazing DJ Drez, sound ambassador. The man behind the positive vibrations of many of these festivals, many of these classes here. I just recently went to Wonderlust in the Park at Santa Monica and got to feel your great vibes as usual.
Thank you.
So I kind of wanted to just start at the ground level and kind of give me some of your background, you know, what you do for those of the listeners who are not too familiar with you. Just kind of give me like an overview.
Overview of
who you are, what you do.
Who I am?
Yeah. Who is DJ Drez?
I am a music lover and maker, and I started DJing, I don't know, like 20 years ago. You know, in the hip-hop world, DJing clubs and underground parties and going on tour with rappers and bands and yeah, just deep into just real hip-hop.
Yeah.
And everything what hip-hop is, like fully in the culture.
Immersed.
Graffiti artist, b-boy, dancer, like all that. Like that was my world, and it's still who I am. I'm a b-boy, straight up. Like I'm, you know. And so that and you know, spiritually, I was born like in, like, my mom and pop were Catholic, like church every Sunday and all that. And then 10 years old, my pop died, and I was no longer forced to go to church.
Wow.
And so and I knew they were onto something, but I knew it wasn't right for me.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the spiritual path, and
so you had the discipline of the going to church every Sunday.
Yeah,
but...
yeah, I got it. I knew there was something. I knew there was beauty in it.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like it wasn't quite what it really is.
Yeah.
And so anyway, my path became Rasta. So anyway, so with that, I'm, you know, I'm a Rasta man.
Yeah.
And I'm. That was my path for many years, and I learned about many things, and cultures, ways of life, all that, and now the only thing I could really call myself is universal wisdom, because
mm-hmm.
I've you know, delved and dived and swam in the Judeo-Christian stuff and touch the nectars of Islam and experienced all the beauties of Hinduism and Buddhism and so like I'm all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a DJ, music playing, loving, spiritual cat that says Sanskrit mantras every second of the day. So yeah, like yeah, and what I mean now, like now, I mean, I don't know how far you want me to go, but the gist of it is my hip hop world, because hip hop music samples from every kind of music.
Yeah,
that opened me up to world music, to reggae, to Indian classical music, just music from all over, jazz, and so I started to incorporate the original stuff where they were sampling from, the old soul jazz, and I incorporate all that in what I do, and the sounds of the East, the Indian music, stuck strong. It just,
yeah,
it makes sense to me.
Did that come from your travels, or did that evolve with your practice of yoga? Kind of just give me some of
the
key points.
Yeah, that was like, that was through just connecting with the sounds originally. I wasn't practicing yoga. My practice was, my spiritual practice was Nyabingi. Like it was chanting with the drum.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the time without words, you know. Just the heart, the chant of the heartbeat, and so I think just vibrationally, the sounds of the East, sounds of Africa and Asia, just made sense to me. Like I felt it in my being, and so. Like, I started making hip-hop beats years ago with old Indian records and whatnot. And, like, when Jata Beats started out, it was never meant to be, like, for yoga. It was just because I like Indian music and hip-hop and, like, you know, down-tempo and all that stuff, and I kind of mixed it up together. But as my knowledge of Indian music grew, and when I started practicing yoga, it was like... it went that much further. Like,
mm-hmm.
oh, like I'm listening not only to Indian classical music, but I'm listening to devotional music.
Yeah.
And now it was really interesting because after learning certain mantras, I'd go back and listen to music that I haven't listened to in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what? I was listening to that?
Yeah, and it resonated with
and
me.
And I chant that now, and
yeah.
And now I know what it means. And and so, yeah.
So with this evolution of music for you, from going from, you know, this Indian classical music and really understanding the mantra, would you say that that helped you to bloom into your practice of yoga? Or were you practicing at that time at all?
Nah. It was really separate.
Ah.
My practice was to it was to create balance because I was very much taking myself too serious. In a lot of ways.
And, how so?
Well, my vows spiritually were out of balance, for me personally, in this lifetime. And certain things that I have to keep to myself, and then other things like that, you know, like the vow, like I had a vow of, for instance, of that many Rastas and Sadhus have, as you grow your locks and you let them grow because that's the natural way of
livelihood.
And it's an expression of the yearning for a simpler life, especially for like a holy man who lives in the city or whatnot, you know. And so anyway, my locks were like down to my knees and they were giant, and and that was just like physically part of it. So that was a little out of balance for me. And then just other things, just the way I would hold myself around people was just like, you know, I had a guard up that didn't need to be there. Because it was it was a disservice to me and the experience that I'm supposed to have in this lifetime.
Would you say that that guard came from, say, like your past experience of being in the hip-hop culture, or was
totally
it...
like, I mean, I grew up, you know, there was gang issues and getting chased by whatever it was, gangsters or the gangsters in blue, the police, whatever, like just, and I was never a bad kid, like, I was a graffiti artist, but I never did anything, like, never did anything bad.
Exactly.
I wrote on freeways and shit like that, like, I wasn't writing on, you know,
people's
houses or small businesses, not like that, I knew what I was doing, and, so anyway, so that was part of it, because I was like a hip-hopper, and like, you know, hip-hop in those days wasn't pop music.
Exactly.
Now it is.
Yeah.
Well, not real hip-hop. Real hip-hop is still at it, at its essence. It still exists. But it wasn't pop music. You didn't hear that on radios, and everybody wasn't listening to it. It was this kind of...
underground movement.
Underground movement amongst this like little packs of crews and people here and there, and not only that, I mean, but the hip hop that I listened to, it was the conscious, some of the most conscious music that exists, like that isn't traditional devotional music. Like,
so like who? Give me some examples.
Like Poor Righteous Teachers, for instance. And then other crews like Jungle Brothers and Divine Styler and X-Clan. This is music that was really, really huge to me. There was a lot of talk of Rasta. There was a lot of talk of Islam and so on. Plus mystic, you know, various mystic things of Christianity and Judaism and just on and on.
Yeah.
And but not only that, there was a lot of there was a lot of teaching of loving yourself and looking to your roots, and so that just made a lot of sense to me. So that was like, that was huge. And then, I mean, there was also like, there was talk of being vegetarian, and there were chakra stuff was brought up, and meditation, and you know, wushu, kung fu, like all that, like all these cats weren't walking the walk, because I ended up meeting a lot of them.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like disappointing actually to meet a lot of these guys. And not all of them. Some of them are exceptional. Like Brother Jay, for instance, beautiful cat, Divine Styler. Like, guys are on point. They walk their walk.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of hip hoppers, like, they were spitting out a lot of jewels that they weren't walking, which I still give them props for doing that, even though they
and
couldn't
bringing
do
it to the light,
even though they couldn't do it for themselves. Yeah, they were still inspiring people.
Yeah,
and yeah, how did I go on this rant?
Basically, your roots, you know, where you
came
from,
and how that
evolved into your yoga. I wanted to.
We were talking about taking myself too serious.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I got to tell this story, which was huge for me. So I heard a story of Siddhartha sitting on the side of a river, and he heard a guitar teacher, airplanes flying through the sky, helicopters. Okay.
Helicopters.
What's it called?
Siddhartha.
Oh yeah, yeah, more. Siddhartha. Okay, so he's sitting. This was when Siddhartha had given up everything.
Mm-hmm.
He was basically a sadhu sitting on the side of a river with his long locks, and he wasn't eating. He was had these various practices and vows going on, and he heard a guitar teacher going by with a student. And the teacher said to the student, if the strings are too tight, they'll break.
Mm-hmm.
If they're too loose, they won't play. And like that simple thing was like one of the big things. Like there's various things along my path that brought me to where I am now and why I wanted to start practicing balance. But that right there was huge. Like I was like, okay, yeah. Certain things are breaking in me, and certain things are not playing as they should be. So let me find a practice, and so I'm a very physical person. I love to move my body.
Yeah.
Also, I grew up skateboarding, and in skateboarding, there's a lot of hard, like toughness.
On your knees,
like,
on your ankles.
And you gotta be, well, yeah, I mean, you get in fights with the concrete, but not only that, but a lot of skateboarders are you know, punk-ass kids.
Yeah.
Straight up. And then a lot of them, like myself, you gotta be hard because people don't like skateboarders. You look around the city everywhere.
Somebody's trying to kick you out of your spot.
Absolutely, it says
no
skateboarding. It's like, well, I'm not bothering you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just doing my thing.
Yeah.
And so that's where I was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And so being that I was so physical, I was like, okay, let me find something that is a mind-body discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, like, for years, my whole life, I've been attracted to martial arts.
Okay.
But because I have been around a decent amount of violence and people fighting and all that, I wasn't sure that was my path, even though I know that is not the true reason. Like, you know, the monks, the Shaolin monks,
exactly.
And that. Like,
that's not the reason they actually.
So it was like, oh, do I get into that or whatever? But yoga, like when I was like 14, 15 years old, I had pictures of Rastas and Sadhus all over my wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know much about the Sadhus. I just knew that they were similar to the Rastas. And
yeah.
I was like, okay. I understood that what I'm attracted to is that life for some reason. And so I had the Sadhus on the wall also. In later years, I found out, okay, many of these Sadhus are yogis.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones who created yoga, Shiva, he was one of these guys, and these dreadlock holy men.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay. So it made sense. And I forgot where I was going. Like,
no
this
worries.
It's like, man, like, it's an interesting path, man.
Yeah.
Okay, what were we about to say?
So, in being inspired by these sadhus, that's when your practice became something. You said that you had to find balance. There was a sense of finding balance within yourself and getting rid of this this facade, this kind of like the wall that you had put up for all these years. And kind of give me like some of the background as to when that time, when that clicked, when it was like, okay, yoga is my path. This is going to be my practice.
My wife actually had to talk me into going to my first class because I was like, all right, because I went to a class and kind of looked around a little bit. I was like, okay, a bunch of white people in Santa Monica doing this practice. Are they doing the yoga that I think that I know about?
Mm-hmm.
And so I totally had judgments. It was not my world. So when I went into like yoga studios, I went into two, and I was like, all right, they're cool. I kind of get it. Like, they're kind of going, you know, on some of the stuff that I read about and whatnot, but it didn't feel like the spiritual practice that I knew. And it felt good though. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it felt right.
So but physically it felt good, but
physically
the spiritual...
it felt good. It felt like, right, okay, I need to look into this, but I don't think these teachers are for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to a class and I was like, whoa. Like, I feel like, you know, and I thought I knew what yoga was.
Mm-hmm.
And
from your readings or what?
From reading stuff and mainly, you know, the mystic side of yoga, you know, and the stuff that is still the draw.
Mm-hmm.
And the mystic side where the mist goes away. But, well, if you practice, the mist can go away and it's still mystical.
Mm-hmm.
Of what people think that word is. But it's like this clear... it's like a clear, magical thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's no longer mystic, but I don't know.
If,
okay,
if
so that's
you can
a whole
find
other,
it on
that's
your own.
A whole other, okay, that's okay. We're all right, going sideways. Okay, so I found a teacher.
Who's this teacher?
Her name is Rachel Simmons.
Okay.
And she was teaching at Yoga Works in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
And I started going to her classes, and I was like, okay, she's on it, like, and it feels right, and I was getting into it, and then she moved, and I was like, okay, I now kind of know how to practice, so I started practicing on my own,
mm-hmm.
and at home, and parks, whatever, and then I was feeling like, I need more. And
need to progress again. You
I need to go back. And my son went to a preschool across the street from Santa Monica Yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Like Santa Monica Yoga, not the like actual Santa
the
Monica.
The original.
Yoga. Yeah, the one on Ocean Park.
Yeah.
And so we went to a preschool over there, and I was like, I got to take him here every morning at whatever 7:45 or whatever. So he's there at 8 or whatever. So I was thinking, okay, I should look at this yoga studio like across the street. Went over there, and there was some dude behind the counter who was a little rude to me. Turned out to be the owner, which is a real cool cat, my homie now. He was like, yeah, here's a schedule over there, blah, blah. And so I went to a couple classes there. I was like, oh, I like this place.
Yeah.
And then I went to this teacher. Class named okay, so well, I got the month long for $30 or something.
Yeah,
and I went to a teacher's class. Her name is Kira Haglin, and she was a great teacher. So for that month, like, I was like, okay, I'm going to her class, and then I had a little bit of money, so I was like, okay, let me get a. Wait, did I buy a series? Was I able to do that? Maybe I dated like a little one or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I couldn't afford to keep it moving.
Yeah.
And like I talked to her. She knew who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And
as far as DJing.
Yeah, because like my music was being played in yoga studios and stuff. And not only that, I mean, I DJ all over the place. Like,
yeah.
You know.
So at this time, you're already pretty established.
In the hip hop world, like, and clubs and stuff, like, I do this, man. This is not new to me. Like, I've, it's a trip. Like,
How long have you been DJing?
20 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Though I'm in the underground, or like was in the underground hip hop world, I was DJing and still do occasionally, but I play with OGs, like people that are in the history books.
Yeah.
People that have influenced, like your Talibs and Mos Defs and even, you know, Jay-Z's and all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and Project Blowed. That's the crew. And, anyway, so, I mean, people know who I was. Anyway, so she was like, hey, if you, like, she said, would you be interested in playing a class? And I was like, and at first I was like, I was thinking, well, no, before that I was like, music and yoga are totally separate.
Hmm.
Like, yoga is for taking baby steps and for no ego, and I'm not practicing the music, all that. That's the way originally it was meant. That's how I thought it was going to be.
And then the question came up.
Well, okay. Right before the question came up, I envisioned myself sitting with turntables in front of a class. Then the question came up.
Wow.
And
so you already saw it.
I saw it. And then the question came up, and I was like, yeah, totally. I'd love to play a class. She said, yeah. She said, you could come 3 times a month for free. And she said, and when you do a class, I'll give you a private.
Mm.
So I was like,
might as well.
Yeah. So on my own, I was practicing, going to the studio, I was practicing, and then I would occasionally get a private with her. And she taught me my first mantras.
Wow.
And so it just, yoga made so much sense for me.
Mm-hmm.
And saying the mantras in the Sanskrit mantras made so much sense and just felt right.
Mm-hmm.
And I re-became a yogi. And it was like, oh, right, this path. And it's interesting because after really getting on this path, it's like, okay, so much of this stuff is familiar.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, right, okay, yeah, I've done this. I've done this in a very different way, but I've done this. And it's really amazing, man. Like, it changed my world. I relearned to talk. I relearned to walk. I relearned to breathe. I've let go of so much and gained so much from letting go of so much. And,
mm-hmm. Created
and
space.
I've created a lot of space. And a lot of space in my mind, a lot of space in my body. And I know that I will always be a student of yoga.
That's beautiful.
And, it's truly beautiful. And there's times where it's so difficult, and times where I step away, and I step away from asana sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And the bhakti is always there. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, I'm always. But
the spiritual devotion is something that really resonates well with you.
Yeah, totally. And so I know that I have this tool, though, when I step away from the asana.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, when I do it, it's more like I'm traveling so much.
Yeah.
Sleep is more important,
mm-hmm.
than an asana practice, like, straight up. Or sitting and breathing whatever, Nadi Chodana, whatever, is more important than sun salutations right now, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that asana is crucial, because I'm a hatha yogi. Like, that's, it's the movement. It was, it's what brought me into, like, it opened the door to this amazing, swirling world of the practice. Like, it's crazy. Yeah.
So tell me about some of the evolution of DJing for yoga classes. Because now, I mean, it's like you're DJing with Sean Korn and Shiva Ray, and you're doing these huge festivals, and
yeah.
It's big. Like, you're like headlining the largest classes.
Yeah.
How'd that evolve?
I think, it's interesting, like, now that I think about that. I think because I was a DJ
mm-hmm.
before. Because I was a DJ before a yogi, that gave me an edge.
Mm-hmm.
And then because I was a yogi separate from being a DJ, that gave me an edge.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, how to look at a room and to see how to serve, and also how to give what they want, but also sometimes what they need,
yeah.
which may not be what they want. So as a DJ, I feel like that's something that I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
would you say that's energy in a sense?
Oh,
like,
it's absolutely
reading energy.
It's absolutely energy. It's meeting energy, it's working with energy, it's it's speaking, it's combat, it's a fight, it's a making love, like there's so many things.
Connection,
it's a relationship, whether you're in a club or a yoga class, like you're on a path. You're on this journey together.
Mm-hmm.
You're in it together.
Yeah.
You know, like it's... So... And then, okay, so... Putting the DJing aside... I'm not a DJ when I was practicing yoga. I think that helped because... Yoga was very serious to me. Like,
mm-hmm.
like, mind you, I'm coming from... a place of being real serious. And to create balance, but I also became really serious with this practice.
Yeah.
Like, alright, I'm not practicing music, and classes are cool sometimes to learn stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to practice under a tree, I'm going to connect with the earth, I'm going to connect with the roots that are underneath me,
mm-hmm.
and the elements of nature, and that is the proper way to practice.
Yes.
And I will not play English. If I DJ a class, I won't play any English.
Mm. So they
very
don't have
few
to
vocals.
Connect to
yeah,
all
period.
Of, yeah.
I'm going to play all, you know. That was my original stuff that was going on in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And that I eventually brought ease to. And so I think, with all that being said, I think my point is that I can connect with the Mysore yogi who's in the class, who is super serious and whatever, and, you know, and I can connect with the festival yogi or the workout yogi.
Yeah.
And musically, the way I remix stuff, I try to make it universal to whatever path or age of the people in the room.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I've elevated to being like one of the guys.
The go-to man. Yeah. You're not one of the guys. You're the go-to man.
It's humbling and it's really beautiful, and I'm grateful. Like, I look at it like, I think before DJing yoga, the only other time ever I got tears on stage is I DJed in the Grand Canyon.
Wow.
On the Havasupai, they have a reservation.
Yes.
In the Grand Canyon.
I've heard about it, and I had a friend of mine who went just recently, and she invited me, and I didn't go. And
yeah.
I saw the pictures, absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
The waterfalls.
Straight
and how.
I was down there with Rocky Delaney.
Yeah.
And they love reggae music.
Yeah.
And so I was down there and playing, and it was such a deep, beautiful experience. I'm like, oh my goodness, like, I'm DJing in the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
I'm looking around and I see the walls of the Grand Canyon and look at this blue sky.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I was just tearing up while I was playing, like, oh my God, this is amazing. With that being said, in the yoga experience, I've found myself DJing things that DJs have never been and may never go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful. Like, I found myself tearing up all the time.
Yeah.
Looking out at 10 faces in their amazing experience of a yoga practice that they're experiencing that time, or 1,000 people, like, some people smiling and having a ball out there doing other stuff. Some people going through, like, this is tough. Like,
yeah.
What are these festival... What is this festival yoga? What are they doing? They're going to kill us.
Yeah.
And then other people are, like, serious, like, in their practice with... In a river of people and energy.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's an intense place to practice amongst.
Yeah.
It's intense.
Drifty, to keep focused.
Yeah,
to be
totally.
Within.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it could be intense being in a room of 30 people, but to be in a class of 300 or 1,000 people, that's super, super intense.
Yeah.
And it can be really intense for me, like, to feel it, because the energy is there. Like, it exists.
Mm-hmm.
It is pulsing with all these heartbeats and just people. All this people, just people stuff. But then visually to see everybody's experience.
Mm-hmm.
And what certain songs do.
Yeah.
And what certain songs don't do.
Mm-hmm.
When people get happier, when people get annoyed. With the teacher or with the music or with themselves, I am right there observing, and it is so amazing to experience the human experience.
Mm-hmm.
In so many different, like, whoa. I can't put words to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why I'm a DJ. Like, what we were talking about earlier is, like, I'm more of a feeler. Like,
yeah.
That I experience some beautiful stuff that I would love to share beautifully, but it can't. It doesn't come out that way.
Yeah, it doesn't come out in words.
I could say some shit that, like, oh, it was amazing, but, like, it tells you nothing about the experience.
Yeah.
And
you just have
I
to be there.
You have to be there. Like, it's this, man, like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, I'm deep in it. And
in playing music for many people in these yoga classes, do you feel that music has become kind of a focal point in yoga? So I feel that, you know, a lot of classes nowadays, they're led by music. The music is what brings that energy into a class.
Yeah, and a lot of, it's a crutch for a lot of teachers. And just straight up, I've seen teachers stress about their playlists so much. And when it becomes that stressful and you're almost late for the class, if you're late for the class because of your playlist, mm-hmm. that's an issue.
Yeah.
You need to check yourself and be there for your students. Like, straight up, have respect.
Yes.
And more so, drop your crutch and teach at least once a week without any music.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You could have a non-music day, or you can do yourself and your students a favor and have it be random. Yoga is about ritual. Like, the ritual of yoga and having a practice every day, all that is important. But it's also important to just stir things up a little bit. Not go crazy, but make things a little bit different, so where if you don't have it, you don't eat yourself up inside, oh, I didn't practice yoga day, so I'm an asshole
mm-hmm.
to myself or people around me or whatever. So that's like the yoga and music thing is, it's super wonderful, and I'm blessed to be a part of it. It's also super tricky.
Mm-hmm.
People also play shit in class that I feel like
no place in a yoga class.
You don't play that in a yoga class. Like,
yeah.
Come on. Like, and with that being said, like, I could also go the other route of, yeah, whatever, have fun,
mm-hmm.
you know. But even me, like, would I play in someone's, like, if I'm doing in-town classes with a teacher I play with all the time, you're not necessarily going to get all the stuff that I'm going to play at a festival.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a festival, so I'm like, you know, it's not a festival. If you have aha experiences and it's deep, that is so wonderful. But you're there amongst a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's about community and having fun and having permission to act like your true self,
mm.
not the one that was conditioned.
Yes.
Like, yoga gives us permission to act like I was going to say act like a child, which is beautiful. I could say that. But it's more like act like our human selves. Like, we want to move our bodies.
Yeah.
We want to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And because of our conditioning, we need permission to do it. So if you have a teacher who comes in and says, stand on your head and all that, you're like, okay, I can stand on my head. It's interesting. A lot of crowds are like that also. Sometimes, and it's interesting because a lot of times it's with a younger audience because teenagers, all that. Well, here's the interesting thing is at a certain age, especially high school, junior high, a little bit, they almost need to be told what to do because
mm-hmm.
they're in a hard time in their life. There's so much going on.
Transition is happening.
Put your hands up. Jump, right? All
yeah.
that. They want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But they almost need to be told to because a lot of them are a little too cool or a little too insecure, which often are the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. So anyway, all right. So and so people want to move and people want to listen to music together and all that. So yoga and music. All right, bringing it back around. Like, it's really important. And as yogis, it's part of our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Sound is part of our culture. We acknowledge Om.
Mm-hmm.
We acknowledge Om. That's huge.
Yes.
Like, to acknowledge that this sound is Ganesh. This sound is a space clear. This sound is to be invoked before any venture, before your practice, before going to the grocery store, whatever. That alone. Om, the vibration. Like, that's, it's what we're made of. It's music. Music is, like, I love this saying, this bumper sticker, right? Music is God making contact with itself. Like, that is
that's
just,
a good one.
That is, like, and I believe that. Like, I feel that. So, as yogis, we acknowledge Om. We acknowledge the importance of singing to God. Many mantras are said in a way that has a certain cadence or a certain up and down that expresses it, so the so like the frequency is exact, right?
Yeah,
it's the thing of like, if you want to go, if you want to hear 89.9 on the radio, you have to go to that station.
Yeah.
89.9, not 89.8. Like, so that's why, like, sound is super important. And so it's music and yoga is tricky for me because, like, that there's that serious side, which I allow myself to have, because it's very important that, you know. Because and I say that because I was talking about taking myself serious and all that, and creating balance. But point being is, I think teachers need to take responsibility of, and they really need to think a little bit more about what they play.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know what? If you have a bunch of college students and that's what they need. Or if you're teaching in whatever area it is and you need to have a certain kind of music, that's cool. If you want to play hip-hop in a class, like straight up hip-hop with lyrics and all that, just choose it better. Because I've heard teachers, oh, well, I play this and that. Or, oh, like, you're, I hear you're like a hip-hop DJ, will you play this? I'm like, nah, just trust me, you'll be happy with what I do.
Yeah.
Trust me, I'm not going to play that, but, you know.
Wow.
So, like that, man, like, that's an interesting, it's an interesting one. It's good, it's good, it's slightly out of balance.
Yeah. Well, I think that nowadays there's a consciousness, there's people like yourself who are leading the way for this awareness that the vibration of how a class is led has a lot to do with the feeling and the connection that people have within that class.
Yeah.
One thing that I wanted to ask you is, with this sense of awareness that's happening, the sense of consciousness that's evolving, do you feel that we're really making a movement? As yogis, as musicians,
we are
like,
we're in the thick of the movement. I think that, like, we're creating a movement. Like, I think it's going to keep on. It's interesting. Like, it's a movement that exists. Like, we're in it. Like, I think more younger people are practicing. Because we go through a lot of shit, like our whole lives, as a human. No matter if you're living, if you're growing up with money or without money, we go through. We're humans. We experience a lot of the same shit.
Yeah.
And,
adversity, suffering. It's all around us.
Yeah, like watching crazy stuff with parents or with friends or yourself. It's awkward and strange to be in this body, especially when you know that you're connected to, well, when you know that you are non-physical energy, it could be strange being in this body, and we all experience it. So I think that because more young people are doing it, and because there's like DJs and stuff like that, and festivals. Like, yeah, a movement is in full effect. And I think we need to be conscious of how we move it.
Yeah.
And otherwise, we as a whole will dissolve it, and there will just be the little pockets of yogis that there were in the West, like in the 70s and 80s, and early 90s as well. There were still just pockets. There were still a lot of people in the West practicing,
mm-hmm.
but it was wasn't
like factions.
This. Right now, like
it's
you
together.
See yoga and every kind of advertising, cereal to selling a car, whatever.
Yeah.
Yoga is used almost as much as sex,
mm-hmm.
which not quite, but it's huge. So I think we need to contain it
mm-hmm.
a little bit and be a little more responsible, those who are at the head.
Yeah.
And to not rip it apart.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people within yoga who are ripping it apart. And
how so?
They feel like it's very controversial, man. Like, you know, like there's a lot of people saying yoga is this or that. Yoga is for this kind of person or that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get too specific.
It's all good.
Because I'm one of these people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and there's yoga studios that say, we don't chant. We don't
mm-hmm.
do this, that. We're for athletes.
Yeah.
Or this kind of practice. This is the athlete flow and all that. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, which yoga, period, is for everyone. Yoga's, it's one of those things. Yoga's for everyone.
It's universal.
Maybe everybody's not for yoga, but yoga's for everyone. And to have a class that doesn't chant or doesn't use much Sanskrit is totally fine. But to promote it as, oh, we do this for these kind of people, and to kind of...
This is yoga for this faction
yeah,
of people.
It's,
yeah.
You know, people should be a little bit more conscious about that. And then there's the... there's the... Just... A whole lot of talk about be your own guru. Mm. Be your own guru. Be your own guru. Yes, this is true. This is true because yoga ultimately teaches you to be responsible for yourself. If you're responsible for yourself, everything gets better.
Yeah.
Everything will get better. That's what, right, Gandhi says,
mm-hmm.
right? Be the change. Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror.
Yeah.
Straight up. Like, that's it.
Bam.
Take responsibility.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that yoga teaches. And that's, if you're practicing Hatha Yoga, you are taking responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Many religions say, put it in God's hands. Yes, put it in God's hands. But you, within putting it in God's hands, that means put it in your own hands.
Mm-hmm.
And be responsibility for your own thriving. And,
yeah.
And, you know... and be, you know, be a lighthouse for people,
mm-hmm.
right? You don't have to be a lifeguard. I got that from MC Yogi, and that is like some real shit. I don't know where he got it. He may have come up with that. He's a genius. But to be a lighthouse is crucial. Let
yeah.
people see. Let people see, like, okay, we're over here doing crazy shit or living very unconsciously. I could look over there. That's where I could go.
Yeah.
Even if they don't go there, you know that, okay, there's the practice of yoga is, it can be a lighthouse,
mm-hmm.
you know. Where, like, where, how did I get here to a lighthouse?
That came from the question of consciousness in this movement.
And being responsible. Yeah. Being responsible. Yeah. Oh, man. It's funny. I don't talk this much, man. So, like, sometimes I start going somewhere and forget.
It's beautiful.
Like, I forget
the origin.
Thing. Yeah. There are teachers out there who are exceptional. There are gurus that they guru, it's the lifter of darkness, basically, right?
Yeah.
There are so many teachers who do that for people.
Yeah.
There's so many teachers. And from your regular yoga teacher on the corner to the yogi here or in the East or here or wherever, who has revered, who has followers.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay for people to have a lot of followers and to teach. That is okay.
Yeah.
We're amazing and we come up with amazing stuff as humans, and some of us experience things that others don't. And the idea is to see them, and that goes with Jesus, the Buddha, any god, is to see them as the example and not the exception.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of like ripping down teachers, and some teachers do things that are wrong, inappropriate, mm-hmm. and downright assholes that should go to jail and shit like that.
Yeah.
Or should really be checked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, they exist because they're human, and that happens. They forgot the practice. In the practice, it's taught to us that you do gain some interesting
powers.
Insights and powers, straight up, you do. Observe them. Don't get caught up in them.
Yeah.
Don't abuse it, that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who want to do articles about them and talk all this shit and share every bad thing about this person has ever done, like, you know, sure, if someone's doing wrong, let it be known.
Mm-hmm.
But don't keep digging into it and then dig into all these other, you know, things. And that's part of the ripping apart that is very unnecessary.
Yeah.
And especially when it comes down to good teachers,
mm-hmm.
and gurus who are truly inspirational,
yeah.
and who are lifting darkness from so many people. And who are a lighthouse and who aren't saying do this, all this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Who are just living a good life and sharing great teachings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's just other things, and you know, I want people to be responsible and respect, like, because there's yogis who do this stuff, and like, come on, take a look at yourself,
mm-hmm.
and who you could be. You could be that person. You could be the person sleeping on the street on the corner. You could be the bad teacher taking advantage of students.
Yeah.
You could be the this or that. Like, look at yourself and the practice that is good, you know? And there's also the thing about people talking about, oh, injuries and yoga is hurting so many people and this and that. Yeah, people getting hurt in yoga.
Yeah.
And yeah, a lot of teachers are being... There's so many teacher trainings that are irresponsibly...
Just throwing,
like,
people out there in front of classes.
Yeah. I did a teacher training some years ago,
mm-hmm.
that just because you did the training doesn't mean you get, like, the permission from the teacher.
Yeah.
Can you go and get your certification with whoever or wherever because you pay money?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but make sure that you get proper permission and to teach. There's a lot of people teach unsafely.
Yeah.
And we're getting really grateful. I mean, we could go like,
yeah,
that's, I mean, I don't know if you wanted to go there, but that's, I think that needs to be looked at.
Mm-hmm.
And a safe practice is the most important thing.
Yes.
This is a practice of longevity.
Sustainability.
Absolutely.
That you can use for a lifetime.
Yama.
Yeah.
Straight up. Tell you, the idea is to practice, be able to wipe our own butts, have sex if we want to, till as long as we want to, right? 80 years old, 90, 100, whatever. And then to practice Shavasana the final time. To go into death with peace.
Yeah.
And that's part of our practice. And if we don't do this in a safe way, and if our practice doesn't change over the years with age and climate and things of that nature, then we're not doing the practice. It's a trip, man. Yeah.
So true. So true. Wow. So we've talked about the past, the present. Let's kind of get a glimpse into the future. What's on the horizon for you?
The future doesn't exist. I'm only here and now. No, I'm just kidding. The horizon is to continue to be a student to the practice, to myself and to my family,
mm-hmm.
and to learn about the practice and longevity and how to be at peace with myself and people around me. And the future is to create music.
Yeah. Tell me who are some of these people you plan on creating music with, or who you've created music with. What are some things for us to look out for?
I work with Marty Nico a lot, who is my wife, and she sings on all of my albums.
Wow.
I'll continue to create with her. Kirtanias are our dear friends.
Yeah.
And
I listened to them a few Wednesdays ago over at Zanzibar.
Yeah.
With you.
Yeah.
That
man,
was awesome.
Yeah. With them and Dominic Dean Bro, who he plays all the mostly all the flutes and saxes and all the wind instruments on my albums. He's exceptional. He's a dear friend. Sheila Bringy and I are doing a project together. She's ultra talented, multi instrumentalist, singing goddess, and Arjun Baba,
Were you on MC Yogi's new album as well?
Oh, MC Yogi, of course, yes. Like, he's another dear friend. I'm on his most recent album.
Mm-hmm.
MC Yogi and I have a lot of work to do together. He's a good friend. We've done a lot of shows and classes
mm-hmm.
around the world. And,
yeah.
And we're going to continue to do that. And, it goes on and on, and Joey Lugosi and Micheline Barry and
Rocky?
Rocky Dalrooney, very much so, yeah. And not only that, but like all the hip hop cats,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, AC Alone, Abstract Rude, Micah 9, Desire Black, like all these people that I play with and have played with for years, and I'm gonna continue to make my Jata Beat albums, which are, it's the Indian music.
Yeah.
You know, it's from Bhangra to classical to devotional, and I'll continue to make hip-hop albums and jazz stuff, and I'm gonna keep it moving. I must do this.
Stay creative.
Like, I have no choice but to create this music and to create.
Yeah, well, it flows so freely through you, so...
Thank you.
We are very blessed to have your presence here, and I really appreciate your time and your wisdom and just your great vibrations, man. Great vibrations.
Man,
spreading them to the world.
Truly, truly, truly a pleasure. Like, I'm grateful to speak.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Namaste.
Oh, namaste.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Yoga Revealed podcast with DJ Drez. Make sure to check out Drez's travel schedule and new music at djdrez.com. You can also find his awesome world music mixes on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Bandcamp. For more awesome Yoga Revealed episodes, be sure to subscribe on iTunes and drop us a 5-star review if you truly appreciate the interviews we do. We are most grateful for you, the Yoga Revealers, for tuning in today. You are appreciated for your support and contribution as a loyal listener of the Yoga Revealed podcast. We will continue to bring inspiration and uplifting interviews your way every single week to help you become the brightest light that you can possibly be in your community. Catch us at yogarevealed.com for a free manifesto document that will inspire your new year and keep you on track for greatness. You can find more Yoga Revealed content on SoundCloud, YouTube, and Instagram. Until next time, live light, shine bright, yogis. Much love.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.